Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Welcome everybody to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler, your host. Excited to be here with you. Gosh, on this beautiful, on the cusp of the summer, Tuesday morning, right? And some of you may be listening to this on a recorded podcast, so you could be into the throes of summer or maybe even the fall. Welcome. No matter what time of the season you're listening to the show, we're here to talk about saving taxes, build wealth, better living the American dream, protecting our assets, all the above. I'm your host, Mark Kohler, CPA attorney, small business owner, a real estate investor, and family man myself, just trying to, again, make ends meet and find some time to enjoy my hobby. So I know the feeling, the rat race, if you will, but, you know, it's all good. And that's why little shows like this can help us out tremendously. I think I'm the biggest benefactor of this show. I just am honored to be here with you. It's exciting to hear the little tips that come from our regular guests and our authors, and it just is empowering for me. So I hope it is for you. Please continue to spread the word. Send out a little link to the show if you find it helpful. Like us on your social media pages, and just kind of forward that email around that you get every week from us. Hopefully you get our blog every week, Tuesdays early morning. Matt Sorensen and I are working on Mondays, producing some good blog articles and content, and we've updated the newsletter again with some kind of a different format and making sure that our workshops and important upcoming events are also listed on the newsletter. So many people have asked, hey, where are you guys going to be next? When can we see or hear you? And so we've worked hard to make sure the newsletter now has that content. So if you're not on our newsletter, just go to any of our core websites and you can sign up. Usually there's a little free gift or reading material that you'll find with a little ebook. You'll love it. And so, again, probably the best website there that's easiest to find is kkoslawyers.com. That's KKOS, as in Sam or Sorensen, lawyers, LAWYERS.com. That's the law firm website. And, of course, we have the sister accounting firm. We've got Matt Sorensen's self-directed IRA handbook website, my personal website. So we're just trying to get the good word out there. So thanks for tuning in. Today's show going to, again, be, a success, and lots of folks will listen in. We'll see the numbers climb over the weeks and months to come as people tune in for the podcast as well. And we're excited to have a very special guest with us, Rachel Cruz. She keys on this too, so we don't want to embarrass her, but she highlights herself, daughter of Dave Ramsey, of course, a wonderful educator and motivational speaker and all the above. But she has her new book out, and we're excited to be talking about that. And so we'll be having her on the show soon, here close to the bottom of the hour. And we're going to be talking about kids and money, whatever age these kids are at, and how it can impact our lives in a positive or negative way if we don't approach the money discussion. And again, this could be children of yours, grandchildren, nieces, nephews. We all have an impact on the generation coming up behind us and what we can do better to help, America be just a little bit better, maybe our family and our greater circle of influence. So don't feel like you have to have children specifically to get something out of this show. I think you're going to love it, and you can find some ways to impact others around you. So we'll be talking about that and other related topics here. As we kick off the show, we're going to be talking about leaving a legacy in teaching our, again, younger family, our younger generation around us, and probably even give ourselves a few pointers as we try to make all this happen. So we're going to be talking about that here in just a little bit. Now, as usual, I want to talk about the newsletter for a quick moment and maybe some of the topics that are of note. First of all, Matt Sorensen's got a busy travel week, so I want to mention some of the upcoming events. If you're in the Sacramento area, please try to get out Thursday night. Oh, sorry, I want to correct myself. Wednesday night, May 21st, that's a live event where Matt Sorensen is going to be talking about the self-directed IRA topic. He'll have copies of his new book there. He'll be answering questions, taking it from the basics to the intense, blow-your-brain concepts. I think many of you will find it helpful. He's going to be at Capital City Wealth Builders Real Estate Investment Club meeting. So try to get out there Wednesday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Networking starts at 6. Matt will probably be on in front of the crowd on stage, however you want to say it, by 7 p.m. Also, Matt will be speaking on Friday in Salt Lake City for a full day of self-directed IRA retirement plan strategies, speaking for Renatus. So you can go to myrenatus.com to learn more information about how to get into their fundamentals or essentials education program, all online with a full week of education. And you could go watch Matt live as he records that, or you can, of course, watch it online afterwards. Next week, I'll be in Riverside, California with New Wealth Advisors, NWA, speaking for a two-day course from Basics to Advanced on Tax and Legal Strategies. It's an awesome two-day course. I can cover almost everything I love to talk about in those 2 days. The workbook is phenomenal, and on the newsletter, you can get to the link on New Wealth Advisors as well to register if you wanted to go to that. Just a couple other important notes. This is the Estate Planning Month once a year, the Memorial Day Special. Get it? Memorial Day. Go visit the graves. Plan your own death, or at least plan your estate for your death. I don't want you to plan your death. That would just be horrific. No, but you can get a special discount on your estate plan, whether married or single, only once a year, and work with the attorneys on a full consultation basis on the phone, FedEx, fax, email, Skype, whatever you prefer to get your estate plan finished. That's only $899 if you're married or $599 if you're single. Those are incredible prices. In many areas of the country, it would be three or four times that to get the same hand-holding consult and support. So just because the price is low doesn't mean the quality isn't there. These documents have been combed over for years and improved upon in a really comprehensive package of information, and you can tailor it to your needs with an attorney over the phone in any state across the country. So please give us a call if you want to get that going. Talk to Julie Deck. Julie Deck is our paralegal on that. There's also a link on the website where you can fill out your information immediately, and she'll get back to you within 24 hours and get the process started. So check that out. I just want to highlight a couple articles I threw in the newsletter myself. Should I pay my spouse in the business? This was a newsletter I wrote a couple weeks ago, but we had some technical difficulties with it. If you tried to click on the link, I think it was broken. There were some problems there. But it is alive and well now, and it's a great article. So if some of you have a spouse and you've got a small business, one of the big questions is, when do I put them on the payroll? And I've got three reasons why I consider it, and I think you're going to find them really insightful and helpful. So check out that article. And then I also have an article on emergency preparedness for your business. Maybe it's because I woke up and saw the smoke billowing from San Diego coming up the coast. We came out in the morning, and it wasn't even sunny. We thought, oh, it's a cloudy day, which I know is odd for our area. And we look up, and it's smoke that was just covering the sun. It was just crazy, these wildfires. And I know in every area of the country, whether it's flooding, landslides in the Northwest, tornadoes in the Midwest, snow at crazy times of the year, are just weird. Climate changes are causing natural disasters everywhere, and being prepared in your business is just as important as being prepared in your personal life for an emergency. So I go through a checklist of 10 things to be doing in your business to prepare for a potential emergency so you can be up and going as quickly as possible and generating revenue and hopefully have minimal damage to your source of income if there's an emergency in your area. And we had friends that were evacuated with those San Diego fires, and it's just, you never know. It's just astonishing what we can all have to face quickly. So check that out, and I think you'll find both those articles helpful. Now, without any further ado, I'm going to bring out a regular contributor to the show, my famous partner, who, again, writes for our blog each week, hosts the show when I'm on the road, does a phenomenal job helping clients all over the country, the one and only Matt Sorensen. There you go, Matt. I should give you a little bit of love on that. You know, we need to run this on the... There we go. The Matt Sorensen.
Yeah, I do need some intro music. I want to run in and give someone a high five or something.
Yeah, I know. Lisa in the studio, we've been trying to get the Howard Stern thing going, but someday our studio will have the skill set to do that.
yeah, or maybe even get some video going, like they do on all those big radio shows now. They're all on TV, but they're just radio shows. You watch guys talking into radio microphones. We might get there, you never know.
Yeah, as if it needed to be more exciting anyway. Well, Matt, welcome to the show. I know that you're going to share an important tip or strategy here with us.
Yeah. So,
well,
I'm excited for today's topic, actually, for the show. I'm super active with my own kids and trying to teach them financial management and teach them good business skills as well. So one thing I want to talk about that's in the newsletter is my article regarding establishing a Roth IRA for your child. So this is a pretty cool strategy. I have lots of clients who will use their retirement account and self-directing it into certain types of investments. And in many instances, they will have their children's accounts involved as well, and they'll be co-investing those accounts into deals they're putting their own account into, obviously hoping to grow everyone's account through those investments. But I want to just run through a couple of important rules of, how can you establish a Roth IRA for a child?
I love it. And this is an important topic because I know people that we're going to talk about the tax tip here of putting your kids on payroll, which kind of some of those procedures. But this opens the door, Matt. So, yeah, tell us how this works.
All right. So now I might leave some of the tax stuff to you guys, but I'll just go over a few things. The first is, in order to have a retirement account, there is not a minimum age requirement. However, there is a requirement that the individual of the account have earned income. So, if your 13-year-old works in your business, works on your rental property, maybe has a part-time or summer job, like my 15-year-old, for example, they can get earned income. And if they have that earned income, that then qualifies them to make contributions to a Roth IRA. They can make up to the maximum contribution limit amount of $5,500, assuming they had at least $5,500 of income. Let's say they just had $2,000 of income, or you could really only justify paying them from your business $2,000 for the work they've done. Then they'd have $2,000 they could contribute to the Roth IRA for that year. But if you do have a small business, again, or even rental properties or things like that, you may be able to pick them up and pay them some income from your business. Mark will talk about, I guess the tax tip will go into more details about ways to do that. But the key here just for the Roth IRA that I want to first mention is they must have earned income.
Well, now, what are their options with this Roth? I mean, once you get the Roth created, let's talk about just investing it. Of course, the self-directed IRA concept.
Yeah. Well, I think there's two things that you'll see. I think some parents will say, I want to, teach them where I'm investing the money, and I want to show them, we buy a real estate investment property, or we invest into a new startup company we think is interesting, or maybe I just want my child to learn how to trade stocks, and they're just going to have an E-Trade type account or a brokerage retirement account, and I want to teach them, about stocks and publicly traded companies. You could do all those things. It really, I think, it goes to typically the parent and their investment strategies, what they know, and what they can then involve their child into doing. And obviously the great thing about doing this is not only are you starting your child to save in the best type of account possible, a Roth IRA, which is, you know, one of the few times you get tax-free treatment, but you're teaching them how to save in that excellent type of account, and hopefully growing some type of savings account for them that they could maybe use for retirement or use later on in their life, even for education expenses, which is one of the perks we'll talk about here towards the end.
Yeah, now, so again, the ability to invest that Roth and teach some, which we're going to talk about here a little bit later with Rachel, which we're excited about, is teaching the concept of savings and how they can invest the Roth.
Yeah.
But they could actually, getting a little technical here for Matt, something you talk about regularly is they could take that Roth IRA and partner with their parents in a new entity and buy real estate or invest in something they know well. It could be a farm. It could be racehorses or Super Bowl tickets, I guess, whatever.
Right, yeah. Whatever your expertise is, and that's the key with self-directed accounts, is for people who have, you know, knowledge in certain areas of investing, you know, put that knowledge to work and invest in what you know. And you can create an LLC, co-invest your kids' money with your money into an LLC, and let that LLC go out and do the deals and investments. And thereby your child's account grows with yours in that process.
Well, I'd love it. Now, what are the options once this child gets their Roth IRA going? Are they really stuck until they're 59 and a half? What are some options to have them access that money if they need it?
Yeah, so two important things to know is, one is when you set up a Roth IRA for someone who's not age 18 yet or 21 in certain states, most states are 18, it's called a custodial IRA, which means that during their time, you're the responsible party on the account as the parent or legal guardian. However, when the child reaches age 18, and again, this is for most states, that child's entitled to that account. That's their account, and they can decide to take some distributions if they want, or they, you know, they can decide how to invest it. So, you know, you want to be teaching them as they go here and trying to teach them good financial skills so they don't just raid the account when they turn 18. The cool thing about Roth IRAs, though, is if you do want to take a withdrawal from...
Now, Matt, let's just make sure here. I'm sure all of you listening, your kids would never drain an IRA when they turn 18. of course, I think Rachel will comment on here. Most kids are totally responsible. They would never just wipe out the account. They don't, but of course, I'm speaking facetiously here. We got to be careful.
Yeah, but you know what? No one learns until they do it. And if you don't give someone responsibility for money, they're never going to learn how to be responsible with it. So, you know, you might as well start them with a small Roth IRA. I don't know, maybe you'll invest well and there'll be a lot of money in that account. But, you know, until they have some responsibility and have experience with money, and if you're doing it earlier on, hopefully by the time they reach age 18, they, you know, they'll be smart about how to use the money. But here's some important things, and here's maybe a way to counterbalance that. With Roth IRAs, you can always take a distribution from a Roth IRA, penalty and tax-free, up to the amount you've contributed. So let's say you've put money in for 3 years of, you know, so you got $16,500 of contributions in there. You'll always be able to take $16,500 out, penalty and tax-free. And that's nice. The IRS basically says if you make Roth IRA contributions that you've already paid tax on, you can take them back out whenever you want. Now, the earnings on that money is a little bit different. So that money can come out. So if the child's going to college or has some, you know, that wants to buy a car, you know, they've used that account to save for some bigger expense, great, they can use the account to access that money. Also, even for contributions and earnings, if the money's coming out for qualified higher education expenses of the child, then there's an exception for the penalty. So they can access their own account for their own qualified higher education expenses by pulling that from the Roth IRA. So that account can be used as a great savings tool for education. And a lot of experts on saving for college education like Roth IRAs more than Coverdell accounts or 529 plans, because you can pull money out tax-free for college education expenses. And if you don't pull it out for college education expenses, you could just keep investing it, and it works like a regular Roth IRA, you know, whereas 529 plans are covered, or covered, those have to come out for education expenses.
Right, right, right. No, this is awesome. I think you hit a great theme here on this topic of children here, because it's so important. Tell us about your article that you wrote, too. What's in there that people can kind of follow up on if they have more questions, too?
Yeah, I just go into some of the earned income rules and some ideas there. I kind of cite the IRS publications on getting money out of the Roth IRA. So I just basically go through the points we talk about in a little more detail, and there's some links to some of the IRS publications on these topics. And, you know, I just want to just say, just for myself, as I've got my own kids who are their own little small business owners right now, my 13-year-old and 15-year-old, and I'm excited. We're going to be setting up retirement accounts this year. They've turned a profit. They started last year. They've turned a profit this year, and they're making money now. So my 13-year-old daughter is actually already trading stocks in a fake account right now, and she kind of wants to play around and learn how to invest stocks. So anyways, but that's, you know, it's an exciting topic, and I think it's a great type of account to teach a kid to invest in. You might as well do a Roth IRA form. You know, if they're making lower amounts of money, they're not going to be paying taxes or being a high tax bracket. They might as well do a Roth IRA. It's the best tax deal in the code, and it can be a great tool for them to learn how to invest and how to manage money.
Well, I love it. Now, Matt, I want to confirm here, just because we're on a recorded show here, and I was going to highlight the difference between the Coverdell, and so one of us is going to be wrong here, or I misunderstood you, and that's probably the case. No, I understand on the distributions for higher education, they're penalty-free but not tax-free. They're just taxed at the kid's taxable rate. They're not a qualified – it's a qualified higher education expense, but it's not one of the qualified distributions. Is that? Could you clarify that for us just so that we make sure we're – and I could be wrong, and vice versa. I just want to make sure we're accurate.
Yeah. If you're pulling out the amounts contributed – that is never taxable. So
okay,
if I had, like, you know, 3 years of 16, you know, I put in 5,500 and I got 16,500, then that is not taxable as I pull it out, and I can use it for education expenses. And you're right, you can't avoid the 10% penalty on the Roth IRA. But keep now on the question of withdrawing earnings
then it's just
from
penalty.
A Roth IRA, then there is an exception to the penalty for higher education expenses. I mean, a traditional IRA, yeah, you would take that into income. A Roth IRA, though, I'd have to double-check that. I presumed you wouldn't, but maybe I'll clarify that in the article if you're disagreeing with me on that point.
Well, and I think the nice thing is I think we're both right, is that, of course, anything that's not based on earnings is penalty-free. And also tax-free.
But
if the earnings, I think, are taxed if they're withdrawn, but they're penalty-free. But then they're taxed at the lower kids. So we're going to have to what we'll do, folks, is we're going to make a comment on next week's radio show to confirm that, and maybe Matt will adjust his article, which will be on his blog. So folks, get to check
that out.
Yeah,
I'll just add a little paragraph for that because I didn't even talk about that. So.
Yeah.
I'll add that in.
This is great. Well, Matt, thank you. A great topic. I want to hit a couple tax points before we have Rachel join us, where we talk about the conceptual points here of why we're going to be doing all this. But this is phenomenal. I think as we're teaching kids about money and we're getting them involved for a tax write-off, let's get their savings going for college. And even if they don't pull it out for college, we can start a Roth IRA, which is just absolutely incredible. If all of us would have had a Roth IRA when we were in our teens or even younger, where would they be today? It's just unbelievable. So, great comments, Matt. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Well, you bet. Well, folks, that was Matt Sorensen, of course, partner here at KKOS Lawyers, author of the book, The Self-Directed IRA Handbook. Check out his blog today through the link on the newsletter, or go to selfdirectedirahandbook.com to get to the blog. I'm sure you'll find us and find his article. But it's fantastic. And like he said, he'll be updating a little paragraph there on the taxability of earnings in a Roth for college education in a kid's Roth IRA. So good stuff. Well, folks, before we introduce our special guest here, I just want to hit the tax tip of the week, which, of course, relates to our theme of the show, and that is taking tax deductions for having our kids work in our business. Now, teaching our kids about money and having them earn their own money is something I know Rachel is a huge proponent of, so we'll be talking about the reasons why we do that. But let's just talk about our tax returns for just a quick minute. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have three children. And again, folks, I want to say this again as a quick side note. Please do not turn off your phone, you know, the computer, the phone. If you're listening to this podcast and you don't have children right now, hey, we're talking about your family and the generations that you can influence around you, whether they're nieces, nephews, grandchildren, or some of you have children that never learned how to manage money. These points that we're going to be talking about will hopefully impact you as you try to make an impact in your extended family. So don't feel excluded on this topic. I think it's really important we're all aware of what legacy we can leave with the young kids around us. I'm a scoutmaster, for crying out loud, teaching the financial planning merit badge, right? I should say it's financial management. It's not financial planning merit badge. I don't want to set up all these little scouts to go down the street and start doing financial plans for their friends, but the financial management merit badge. But anyway, okay, so here's my point. Let's say you've got three kids under age 18. I'll go with the over age 18 strategy here for a moment. But let's say you have three kids under age 18 that are helping in the business, and you pay them just a modest amount of $4,000 each during the year to pay for the things that you're paying for already. Again, you don't have to be rich to do this. You have a small business. The kids are involved in the business. And let's say you pay them $12,000 combined, and they pay for their own soccer lessons, school clothes, school lunches, with their own debit cards that you funnel this money through for the services they provide in the business. Well, now what you've created is a $12,000 deduction that you never had before. You paid the three kids $4,000 apiece. Boom. We've got this great deduction. Well, if you're in a 30% tax bracket, 25 Fed, 5 state, being modest, you just saved $3,600. You literally saved $3,600 in taxes by just integrating your kids onto the tax return. Now, that $3,600 would certainly pay for your bookkeeping and tax return prep more than likely in any sort of small business, generally speaking, unless, you know, depending on how robust your business is. But that $3,600 is real tax savings of involving your kids. Next idea, maybe your kids are older and you're helping them through a difficult financial time. Maybe they're in college, and you're helping them out to the tune of maybe $800 to $1,000 a month, just helping them get by. And if they can help you in your business, you could 1099 them. And maybe because of the problems they're in a lower tax bracket. Maybe they are at college in a lower tax bracket. Let's just say there's a 10% variation between your tax bracket and your kids. So say you're in a 30% bracket, but your kids are in a 20% or even less tax bracket. Well, a 10% differential on a $10,000 assistance that you're helping them with, that could be $1,000 in tax savings. 1099 your kids, take a tax deduction, and help them pay their taxes, and you're still ahead of the game. Now, you may say, well, Mark, I can gift my kids money. Well, you don't get a tax write-off for gifting your kids money at any age. I don't care if they're in their 30s or 40s. You don't get a tax write-off. Send them the gift of a 1099 at Christmas. That's a lot of fun. Anyway, grandkids, another final point is for any of you that have grandkids or nieces or nephews and you want to help them out at Christmas time, help them start a Roth IRA. Give them $1,000 for helping out in the business maybe during one of the Christmas breaks or summer breaks, and they came over and shredded some paper and cleaned the office and helped with the rental property. Give them $1,000 1099, and by the time they file their tax returns, they may pay no tax at all, and you get a $1,000 write-off, and now the kids have $1,000 of earned income, and can open their Roth IRA, which Matt Sorensen just talked about. So good stuff. All right, now we are right exactly at the bottom of the hour, and I'm so excited to welcome our special guest today. We have Rachel Cruz on the line, ready to join us. Folks, this book she has written is just amazing. Co-author of the book, Smart Money, Smart Kids, Raising the Next Generation to Win with Money, written with her father, Dave Ramsey, of course, just a phenomenal educator across the country. And Rachel herself has a degree in communication studies from the University of Tennessee, lives with her husband, Winston, in Franklin, Tennessee. And she, from an early age, was taught on how to give generously, spend wisely, and save for the future. She understands the dangers of debt. She's seen firsthand the damage it can do, and now Rachel has a passion to help others learn the same principles, and she's traveling around the country doing just that. So without any further ado, we want to welcome Rachel to the show.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, it's an honor you could find some time to be with us. I know that you speak on a number of stages and on shows on a regular basis. Thanks for finding time for us. We appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. No, I appreciate you having me on. I love talking about this subject, and it sounds like this is a perfect show for it, talking about kids and money.
Yeah. And, well, what we hope to do at this point is now combine the tax strategies and the financial strategies of integrating our kids in our business, something I've talked about for years, but with the warm and fuzzy, the principles, the concepts that we could be teaching our kids at the same time. So, tell us about your new book and what you tried to accomplish with it, and maybe set the stage for it. Gosh, I've got a whole list of things I want to talk to you about.
Yeah, we are so excited about this book. The book is basically all for parents on how to teach your kids about how to win with money. And so Dad, you know, for the past 20 years has been helping people get out of debt and get an emergency fund those Roth IRAs like you guys are talking about. I mean, all of that to get people on board. And so I realized when I went to college that there's such a lack of knowledge in all those areas of money, from the simple things, the basic things like staying away from credit cards, to, you know, more complex things like the Roth IRA. And so I realized, gosh, if you can learn this stuff from an early age, how much better off you're going to be. So for the past 5 years, I've been traveling around talking to high school students and college students about kind of the preventative side of money. And with this book together, Dad and I decided to, you know, combine our two perspectives, and him as the parent and me as the child, to really give parents the tools to teach their kids. And we really wanted it to be very practical, very everyday things, because when you teach your kids about money, it's really kind of in the ebb and flow of life. And so I think the book really reflects that.
Well, I think one of the key points you made there is that you've been on the road talking to not only high school students, but college students. This isn't something once our kids leave the house, we just give up on. We have an opportunity to impact our kids at any age, I would presume. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think your perspective and the way you go about those conversations, you know, will depend on if your kids are living in your house or if they're grown adults now, and, you know, maybe they have kids of their own. So, you know, you approach the subject matter in a different way. But, yeah, you still have influence. As a parent, you never lose your right to parent, if you will. So you can always be that advisor in someone's life and really help them, because a lot of people, a lot of these college students I talk to, they really have no clue what they're doing with their money. So any guidance at all will benefit them.
Well, and you know, how many of those listeners out there today and have themselves, or are you're a parent or a grandparent, and get that wonderful phone call late in the evening, hey, Mom, Dad, can you help me with a little money? And as an estate planning attorney, I mean, I just met with some clients this last week where the kids are in their 40s and they've got notes to Mom and Dad for help in expanding a business or buying a home. And when you get that phone call, hey, I want to borrow money, this opens the door to, well, there might be some conditions on that loan I'm going to give you, so let me teach you something. So, I mean, what do you say to these parents that even have these older children asking for money? This could be a chance to teach some of the things you didn't get a chance to do when you were younger.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think parents, you know, you still have that right to speak into their life. But yeah, it's tough, and there's a lot of a boomerang generation, you know, people coming and moving back home after college, and even adult kids, like you said, asking for money. And And what you're doing as the parent when you're just giving them everything they're asking is you're enabling them. You're not giving them the dignity to stand on their own. And so I'm not against, you know, nice gifts or being able to bless your kids. I think that there's definitely a balance there. You want to be able to bless your children, absolutely. But you want them to have the dignity to carry that blessing. And without that dignity, they're going to crumble and fall, and you're going to be their backup plan for the rest of their lives. And that's just not a good plan for them. I mean, you're not letting them be an adult. And so my hope is, you know, if you have little kids from age 5 to even up to 25, wherever they are in the spectrum, you can help them learn how to handle their own money. And the great thing about money is most of it, it's just common sense. You know, it's things like live on less than you make. If you don't have the money, don't buy it. Money comes from work. You know, there's very simple steps, very simple keys to money. It's just hard to do. You know, we all know we should budget. We should do these things, but it's just difficult to live out. So when you can shape their behavior, especially from an early age, then they're going to be much better off.
Well, and I know you talk about the four principles in your book, which I love, is work, save, spend, and then give. Let's focus on the work for just a minute, which you just alluded to, is that when you do help your kids at any age, are we teaching them to earn it and work for it? And which, you know, Rachel, totally just directly relates to my tax strategy of the fact that maybe we can integrate their tax return with yours somehow. Because if you are paying the kids to work and you do own a small business, there's some tax planning opportunities there that can be phenomenal. So maybe tell us a little bit of how you implement the work connection and the work money connection, as you call it, and maybe things kids can do or at any age and parents can do to implement this.
Yeah, we look at it pretty simple. How I grew up is I was never given an allowance. I was never handed money. I was always on commission. So you work, you get paid. You don't work, you don't get paid. And all the Ramsey kids, that's how we grew up. And so it's very common sense. It's very simple. But you make this connection that money comes from work. Money does not come from mom and dad's back pocket. And so what you're doing is you're instilling that connection. And an allowance, it's almost like saying to your kids that they're deficit. And you have to make up for them. And so you have to provide them money. But you can show them, hey, even at age 6 years old, you can do things around the house. And make money for that. And so, again, you can start as young as 3 or 4, but it's very, very age appropriate. So for little kids, I mean, just have maybe 2 or 3 things they do, you know, things like cleaning their room. But when a 4-year-old cleans their room, they're not really cleaning their room. I mean, mom and dad are doing most of it, and they're picking up a few toys. But they get all the credit. And so, you know, find little things they can do around the house. And as they get older, then the responsibilities can increase. And even for us kids, you know, Dad made my sister and I was 14 and she was 16, open up our own business. And so we had to figure out a business to open because he was an entrepreneur and he told us, I want you to learn how to run a business. So we did a profit and loss statement, a business plan. We did it all for this little snack business. And so we did that as teenagers. I worked outside the home. I worked, you know, for employers. I babysat. You know, I did things mostly because mom and dad made us. They made us work for things we wanted. And so that was such a gift. Because as I travel around and I talk to high school students, college students, and sadly even young adults, there is a disconnect there that money comes from work. So instilling that in your kids gives them a great foundation to stand on.
Well, and I like how you talked about a couple unique ways to approach this. For example, helping your kids start a business. A couple ones that I want to highlight here, too, is that And then you also mentioned if you don't own a small business, at least create chores around the home. And maybe they wouldn't be tax deductible, of course, but at least you're giving the kids something to do, whether it's even taking out garbage as a teenager and helping around the house with cleaning the garage or washing cars. But I want to throw this out, too, is that as grandparents, those that are older here listening, if you do have a small business, when the grandkids do visit, have a little job for them to do and say, hey, and some of you may not be pleased with the way your kids are teaching the grandkids. This is your chance to implement something where you can make up for lost time yourself. And I think it's also with your kids at college, if you own a small business, are your kids somehow supporting the business through social media jobs or marketing or helping find leads for your business or open a satellite location. So, again, I think for all of us that are entrepreneurs, which is a huge base of those on a regular basis listening to our show, I think you'll find even more opportunities to make that connection. Now, the saving point that you talked about, savings, and we've got a caller here that wants to talk about the investment and the savings aspects. It's not just having the kids earn it and then spend it right away. what do you want to teach kids when it comes to saving?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you want to teach them really three basic things with money: give, save, and spend. And so spending is definitely a component. And find things, you know, this is not like a money boot camp for kids, you know, find just things that maybe they want to save for, as something as small as a movie, or maybe as they're older, you know, a PlayStation game, or whatever it is that they're wanting, let them save up and pay for something. My parents told us that they would not pay for our cars when we turned 16, that whatever money we saved, they would actually match that. Dad would call that his 401 Dave plan. And so the matching program was in our home. And so when I turned 16, I had $8,000 saved up. So I got a $16,000 car paid for with cash. And I tell that story not because of the number or even that mom and dad matched us, because maybe people out there, you're not in a position to match your kids financially, and that's okay. But what that did is at 16 years old, that taught me patience. That taught me delayed gratification. That taught me wisdom. There's so many elements into saving money that you can teach your kids. It's not simply putting, you know, dollars away in a savings account. I mean, you're teaching them life character qualities that they need later in life. And so, yeah, this portion of saving money is crucial, especially in a day and age where, you know, you can buy anything you want without having the money through the avenue of debt, and we don't want that because that's very destructive to your kids' future. So you want to find ways to show them practically that they can save up and pay for stuff.
Well, and on the savings note, it relates, of course, to what Matt was talking about with an IRA and some of those more tax-sheltered savings strategies. And we've got a caller also that wants to talk about, when you do save money, how are you investing it and what are your options? So I want to welcome Brandon to the show. Brandon, welcome. You had a question for Rachel and myself?
Yes, actually I did. I had I had three quick questions, very brief. One question was, during the time Matt was on, any good resource as far as someone wanting to learn about stock? That's one of the first things that I wanted to find out about. The second is dealing with what would be a good resource with teaching young kids. I have a 6-year-old and soon to be an 8-year-old, so I want to be able to teach them about money and what to do and how to save and how to invest and things like that. And at the same time, I need to use it for myself as well. So those are the two questions. And also with being able to use the services of your children as far as doing a 1099, is there something additional that's needed for, you know, for like my daughter who's turning 8 and is doing things for my business?
Well, I'd love it. No, go ahead, Rachel. Yes.
Okay, well, I was going to just answer the question, just what you can do practically with the kids from 6 to 8, and Mark, you can do the investing, you can answer the investing questions. But what I would say is, A, number one, you're a great dad. You're very aware of your kids. You're very aware that this is a needed topic in life for them. So I applaud you for that. A lot of parents are not that engaged. So, but when they're this young, you know, they are still kids. And I think, you know, when you're teaching them about saving, it's things as simple as maybe having a jar on their dresser at home or having an envelope, and they take part of the money they've earned and they just save it up for something. They have a goal in mind that they can see, because you don't want to start them investing, you know, for retirement, because they can't see past the weekend. I mean, they're still kids. So you very much want them, you want to meet them where they're at in that sense, to say, hey, find something that you can save for. It may take 3 weeks or 4 weeks, but something, a goal that's obtainable for them, that they can find. So yeah, something as some, you know, a toy. I mean, whatever it is they want to save for, do that and let them see their money grow in that envelope or in that jar, because kids are so visual. They want to see their money grow. They want to see the progress they've made. So around the house, you know, when they do chores, yeah, take some of that money and make them save it and find that goal they're saving towards. Maybe put a picture of it on the refrigerator or around the house so they can visually see what they're saving for as well.
Well, and I just add to that, too. I think what I love what you're saying, is that kids should be saving for something to buy as well as saving to invest. And Brandon, we've seen many clients talk about giving away 10%, saving 10% for some sort of goal, and then investing 10%. So they're learning to live on 70% of their income, as an example as well. And on the investing piece, like Matt Sorensen was talking about, that could be in a tax-sheltered structure, maybe an IRA or something. But some of the ways to get your kids involved in investing is I've had a radio show on penny stocks and letting kids open up a some sort of money market or investment account. And there's a lot of children type accounts that are custodial that you can help open with your kids online, and whether they're an IRA based account or not, and let the kids buy penny stocks and start to learn about that. I won't mention some of the financial institutions for the fear of choosing, you know, selecting one out of preference. But my son himself did this, and there's a lot of times these contests kids can enter to learn how to invest, which is a lot of fun. And finally, on the tax strategy, the 1099 or W-2, if your kids are under age 18, there are different ways to structure paying your kids. You want to talk to your tax advisor. Do you have an LLC? Do you have a sole proprietor? Do you have a corporation? And there's different methods. And I talk about this in my book, What Your CPA Isn't Telling You. So, Brandon, you can do a little bit more research and talk to your advisor. But I hope that helps, Brandon. Great questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no, I love it. So, Rachel, on the spending, what do you teach your kids about spending? When it's time to, I mean, if they're going to go nuts if they don't get to spend something, what do you teach them on that concept?
Yeah, that's right. You definitely want them to enjoy some of the money they've earned, so that's for sure. Well, the spending money, I mean, it's number one for them just to enjoy, and if it's something they want to spend, everything from, you know, bubble gum at the grocery store to, you know, as they're walking around Toys R Us and there's something they have the money for in their little spend category, their envelope, then yes, let them spend and enjoy. But you want to show them wise spending as well. Things like quality over quantity, and showing them, you know, if you want to buy this toy, you can, but when we come home, it's probably going to break within a day. But if you buy the nicer toy, spend a little bit more money, it's going to last you if you have the money. So it's just having conversations with your kids. And even parents, as you're spending money, show them what you're doing. If you're buying a new TV and you're getting a deal for it, you know, because you've asked for a bargain, I mean, let them see that and visually watch you do that. So there's ways definitely to spend wisely. But when they're kids, again, just letting them maybe even make some mistakes with spending money. I think that that's good, because when they make mistakes and learn from the consequences, they're under your roof. They're probably very inexpensive mistakes. That way, when they go off on their own, they don't make crucial, really expensive mistakes. So the key is for them to really kind of learn consequences, and there's going to be times where you're going to rescue them and say, stop them and say, don't buy that. That's not very wise. But, yeah, the spending category is the most fun. For me personally, because your kids are either natural savers or spenders, so I was a natural spender and still kind of am, and I have, you know, financial footing. So your kids can be successful if they're natural spenders, I can promise you. But yeah, letting them enjoy money is key.
Well, I love it, and I just had an email from one of our listeners. This is from Julie. She said, when it comes to giving, we have tried to help our kids choose where they want to give their money. It just doesn't have to be church or United Way. The kids can even save it up in an envelope and give it to someone on the street or on a corner that might be holding up a sign. And Julie, that's just phenomenal. I just love that, because it is true. We drive down the road and our kids see these people on the side of the road. If you're in a larger metropolitan area, it's fairly common. And this is a chance for your kids to feel like they can give it where they feel it's important. That's a great comment, Julie. What are your thoughts, Rachel, on the giving portion of the money?
Well, giving is an extremely important part, if not the most important part. Because when your kids are giving, no matter where they're giving to, they're living with an open hand mentality. And that's key, because when you're giving, you're becoming less selfish. You're becoming selfless. And selfless kids tend to be grateful kids, and they tend to be kids that look to others, and they're humble in that sense. I love C.S. Lewis's quote. He says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And that is a beautiful child to raise. I mean, there's a lot of kids that are opposite of that, that are entitled, are selfish, are discontent. And those are pretty, you know, some pretty ugly children that we've seen, you know, either on the grocery store aisle or at restaurants, and you can tell, oh, wow. And so you want to raise kids who are have a heart for others, and that giving component is key. I think that's one way you can beat entitlement as well, because entitlement is a sense of arrogance where you feel like everything is owed to you. Something is owed to you. It's all about you. But the opposite of arrogance is humility. And so when your kids are giving, I think they're building this humility muscle, if you will. And so, yeah, that I think that it's, again, probably the most important key. And the first thing I teach kids about money. So when you're teaching your kids, you teach them to give first, save second, and then spend third.
Well, as many teachers have experienced in their life, they'll try to preach or lecture their family or friends, and sometimes one of the best ways to teach someone is by example. And I know you talk about that in your book, and how living carefully financially could be one of the best ways to teach your family, nieces and nephews, grandkids again. And this is maybe a good chance on the show to talk about some of the things we can be doing ourselves. And it's easy to lecture others without, but then maybe we need to point the fingers at ourselves sometimes. What are your thoughts on that example that we should be setting?
Oh, it's tremendous. I think more is caught than taught. Your kids are watching you. So you can sit down and have money conversations all day long, but if you're doing the opposite of what you're telling them to do, if you're telling them to save up and pay for something, and then you go out, you know, and swipe everything on a credit card or go, you know, get a car loan or something like that, you're defeating the purpose of this idea of what you're teaching them about things like saving up and paying for stuff. So your kids are watching so much of what you do. And that is, as you said, as a parent, even as a grandparent, as an aunt and uncle. There was a caller on Dad's radio show, I think about 2 weeks ago, and she was an aunt. They didn't have kids, but she had three nieces. And she was talking about how, you know, they're with her sometimes, and so she's been teaching them about money and how far they've come already just by her example. So, you know, if there's kids in your life, you're being an example to them, and so more is caught than taught. And that's not to shame or to guilt parents by any means, because even if you're not perfect with money, that means you're over 12. I mean, we've all made mistakes with money, so you're not going to be a perfect parent or a perfect grandparent or perfect aunt or uncle. But the key is that you can teach your kids about money, whether you're perfect or not, but try to get your own finances in order, not for your own sake, but for the example you're setting.
I like what you talked about is the mistakes, because they're going to happen. And you talk about the big ordeal. What do you what do you mean by the, you know, a big ordeal and mistakes when you're in these situations?
Well, I mean, I look at my own story, and I came from parents who filed bankruptcy when I was 6 months old. And so they started from the bottom of the bottom, if you will. And I look at my life now, and, I'm not perfect with money. I've even made mistakes, but not as devastating mistakes that is going to cost me something like a bankruptcy, knock on wood. But so far, you know, I've been able to stay away from debt and invest for the future and for retirement and save up and pay for things and budget. You know, I get to do all of these things. Not because I'm Dave Ramsey's daughter, but because my parents taught me about money, and they were able to teach me, whether they filed bankruptcy or not, you know, that they have the ability to do that. And so parents out there, you know, you are not going to be perfect with money. So no matter where you are, if you have $1 million in your retirement fund or you have $0 in your bank account, no matter where you are, you have that impact on your kids. So start today. Start showing them how to handle money. And again, very simple. It doesn't have to be complex. Things like working, giving, saving, and spending will take them a long way.
Well, share with us some of the things you're doing now. What are you? Where are you going to be next? What do you have as a resource to folks with your website, your books? Tell us how we can get more of you.
Yes, well, we just got off the Smart Money, Smart Kids book tour for about 4 weeks. We were all over the country. and it was incredible. So we got to meet tons of people, and so we're coming off of that. And so I would gear people towards Smart Money, Smart Kids. It's probably the best resource now for parents to teach their kids about money. You can go to rachelcruz.com. I have a YouTube channel as well. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook, and I'm traveling around speaking. I'm all over the place. I feel like I live on an airplane, basically, and on, you know, some media stuff as well. So you can follow me on social, and you can follow my adventures all over the country.
Well, I love it. And, folks, if you're going to her website, it's Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, Cruz with an E, so C-R-U-Z-E, .com. And, gosh, go check it out. This is fantastic. Well, I love what you're doing to help kids around the country. And, gosh, any final words? Something when you just have that last admonition you have for parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles? What do you want to leave with us today to help us accomplish this? in kind of sometimes the insurmountable project of raising the next generation.
Yes, I would say don't be intimidated by it. Find the everyday teachable moments. I mean, I can remember my mom pulling out two $100 bills out of a food envelope, paying for groceries when I was 7 years old, and asking her, it takes $200 to feed us? And she said, yes. And I got that visual. I remember watching my dad pay bills and him pulling me up in the chair and showing me how much things cost. I would see my parents' budget together. I mean, there's these memories I have as a kid and as a teenager that have been instilled in me. And what it was those everyday moments. So parents, it doesn't have to be huge and intimidating. Find those teachable moments throughout the day, and your kids are going to remember those things. And it's really going to set them up for success. And your kids are a clean slate. They are your fresh start. So start today where you're at.
Well, Rachel, thank you so much for being with us. Folks, Rachel Cruz, co-author of the book Smart Money, Smart Kids, Raising the Next Generation to Win with Money. We hope to have you back and wish you the best in your quest. This is just
absolutely
wonderful having
you here. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for having me on. I so appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Well, folks, gosh, here we had another amazing hour talking about building wealth, saving taxes. Hopefully you walked away with a few money-saving tips in the process. I wish you the best. We'll be here next Tuesday at 11 a.m. Another amazing guest will be joining us. Please get on the newsletter and stay in touch. And we hope to see you next week for another Mark Kohler Show.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.